I want to start with a little story that will kind of help frame where we're going this morning in the Sermon on the Mount. It goes like this. Eight times the Ministry of Education said no to each of you Holmer's eight children when they tried to enroll in the university in East Berlin. The Ministry of Education wasn't in the habit of giving reasons why an applicant was rejected. But in this case, the reason was not hard to guess. See, U. Holmer was a Lutheran pastor. For 26 years, the Ministry of Education was headed by Margot Honecker. She was the wife of East Germany's premier, Erich Honecker. When the Berlin Wall cracked, when it fell down, taken down, Honecker and his wife were dismissed from office. He was under indictment for criminal activities, including the shooting of people trying to escape from East Germany. The January after the collapse of the wall, the Honeckers were evicted from their luxurious palace. They suddenly found themselves homeless, friendless, and without resources in any place to go. All of their former cronies refused to lend them a hand. No one wanted to help the Honeckers or to be identified with them. Enter Reverend U. Holmer. Remembering the words of Christ that call us to turn the other cheek and to love even our enemies, Reverend Holmer invited the Honeckers to stay with his family in the church parsonage. We're at the beginning of our Valentine's week here. Love is in the air. It's Valentine's week. And as we continue our journey through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls for love extended. Love extended. Taking it to a whole nother level, like Jesus likes to do with really everything. Love extended. Let's go to Matthew 5, continuing in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Matthew 5, verse 38. If you have a red letter Bible, these letters are in red. The words of Jesus. And Jesus has this to say. He says, "You have heard that it was said." In other words, this is what people say. Eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, that's your outfit, that's your clothes, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors, those dirty dogs, are not even they doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Today we're going to explore how Jesus is encouraging us, his followers, his disciples, how he's encouraging us and teaching us to deal with difficult situations and how to deal with difficult people in our lives as well. Has anybody ever in your life run into a difficult person? Ever. If you're breathing, right? Well, first what I want to do is I want us to look at the context that Jesus is preaching into right here. We're going to look at the context surrounding his statements. And here's what's going on. You see, the Jewish religious leaders of the day, they were charged to interpret and to teach the law of Moses, which was, and it still is, Scripture. It's the Word of God. And so the religious leaders, the priests and all of those folks were to teach this and to instruct and disciple the nation of Israel into this kind of living. But apparently they weren't doing just quite the right job. They weren't doing such a great job at it. And so Jesus is having to correct many things. And we've talked about a lot of those already as we've been studying through the Sermon on the Mount. In particular, there was this interpretation at that point in time. It was a modern interpretation that was misapplying the law. You see, in Leviticus 19, verse 18, God's word instructs us in the following way. It says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This is a "thus saith the Lord" statement. So what's going on here, though, it appears as though the Jewish leaders had defined their neighbor just as their fellow Jews. So they were taking that passage and saying, okay, we're going to teach it, but this is how we're going to teach it. It's just our fellow Jews that this applies to. They excluded Samaritans. They were excluding Gentiles from this category of neighbor and therefore excluding them from this call, this word from the Lord to love them. And then they took it one step further and they began to further corrupt God's word by adding to it, saying, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Which means they were ignoring scripture that they were already charged to not only read but to live out. If you look at Exodus, in Exodus 23 verses 4 and 5, God had already laid this out. He said, if you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help him with it. Show him love. Help him. Give him a hand. Your enemy, those who hate you. So Jesus, in his sermon, he's having to deal with what was going on in his time right there, where things were getting twisted. Things weren't right. Things weren't in line with God's heart anymore. He was not just even turning things upside down, but he was actually turning things right side up again, is what Jesus. He was calling the world, the religious community, to return to God's way of thinking, to start getting the heart of God back into their lives, into their thoughts, into the way that they handled themselves and handled one another. And we've been talking about that as we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Think God's way about one another. I mean, physically murdering somebody, we know that's bad, but even speaking those kind of words at somebody, it's God's heart isn't for you to do that. We know it's God's heart not to physically commit adultery, but Jesus says, you've wandered away now, and your hearts have become hardened, and you're committing adultery in your mind and in your heart. Let's get back to the heart of God. Let's think God's way about marriage. We talked about that, the sanctity of it, the sacredness of marriage. Jesus is saying, you're taking it, the flesh is getting involved. You're starting to make all these silly laws that's actually not drawing you to the heart of God, but pulling you away from the heart of God. You're starting to say, where is the line and what can we cross and not cross? And you're putting all of this silly stuff out there. And God's heart is getting ignored. Let's come back to the heart of God on all of this stuff. That's what Jesus is preaching. Do you think that the world today has wandered from God's heart in these same areas? Yeah. I think of just even right now, I'm thinking of that hymn, "Prone to Wander." I don't remember the rest of the words, but what's that? "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." I mean, that's what happens. Our flesh starts to operate and we're prone to wander. And Jesus is saying, let's stop wandering and let's get back to the heart of God. And God's heart is to not just love those who are easy to love, but to love everyone. For God so loved the world, didn't he? He loved everyone that he stepped down from heaven, became a man, and went to the cross and bore our sins. and made a way for us. He loved everyone, and so he did that. So we're called to love everyone, including our enemies. But who is our enemy? Jesus lays it out pretty clearly right here in this passage of Scripture. Who is our enemy? It spans from those who are just downright mean and nasty, just to those who are indifferent with us. Who is our enemy? Let's look. Number one, our enemy is those who persecute us. Those who persecute us. It's found in verse 44, Jesus' words. But I tell you, again, Jesus bringing it back to the heart of God. You hear everybody else saying this, even the religious leaders of the day. But I tell you, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how it was designed. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who do what? Who persecute you. So clearly, by enemy, Jesus is letting us know it's those who oppose us and try to hurt us. What does persecute mean? Persecute means to pursue with harmful intentions, to harass or to punish in a manner designed to injure, to grieve, or to afflict, specifically to cause to suffer because of belief, to persecute. Christians around the world are experiencing extreme persecution. I mean, no joke, big time, right now, on our watch, it's happening. David Curry, he's the president of Open Doors Ministry. It's a ministry that ministers to the persecuted church. And he stated this. He says that we have seen the sharpest jump in violent attacks against Christians in the modern era, estimating that upwards of 100 million Christians worldwide are suffering persecution as we speak. And while the year 2014, he wrote this in 2014, not in 1014, but in 2014. And while the year 2014 will go down in history for having the highest level of global persecution of Christians in the modern era, current conditions suggest the worst is yet to come. I spent a lot of time this week out on the Voice of the Martyrs site, persecution.org, persecution.com, reading about what is happening. You know, I'm on Facebook and I see people posting all kinds of things of what's going on around the world with our brothers and sisters in the church, and it's crazy. It's crazy. I want to read you a story, a recent one. On Sunday, January 18th, Pastor Win Hong Quang and his associate pastor were attacked by five men near the Bible college that Quang founded and still leads. The five men attacked the two pastors without provocation, hitting them in the heads with bricks and rocks until they collapsed to the ground. The attackers continued their assault even after the pastors were on the ground, kicking them repeatedly. Both pastors were taken to emergency room for treatment. Pastor Quang suffered a broken nose, broken ribs, and injuries to his teeth and jaw. And no arrests have been made in the assault. From this year, January 18th, 100 million Christians being actively persecuted right now. I was going to put a picture of Pastor Quang up when he was laying in his hospital bed, what he looked like. But we have children in the room, so I didn't do that because it was very dramatic. Jesus says, love them. Love them. Love them when they persecute you. Love them when they beat you, throw rocks at you, break your nose, put you in the hospital. Love them when they kill you, when they take away your father or your children, which is happening in astounding numbers around the world right now. What is happening to children? It's just, love them, though. Love them. If they destroy your home, burn it down, burn down your church, love them. Love your enemies. Be that kind of person. Be so changed. Be so changed by the love of God that you're able to do this. It is possible. It doesn't seem like it when you just think about it. When you read the stories I've read, when you look at the pictures I've looked at over the past week, it doesn't seem possible. But we know in Christ all things are possible. This is the kind of all things are possible that Scripture is referring to. We can love this way. And Jesus is calling us to love this way. So who is our enemy? Those who persecute us. And number two, those who oppose us. Less dramatically, but yet they oppose us. Let's go back to Scripture, Matthew 5:45. God causes His Son, that's S-U-N, not S-O-N. He causes His Son, that's in the sky, His Son to rise on the evil and the good. And He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So the evil and the unrighteous people are people who defy God. They're people who defy His law, who resist God's will. Those are the evil and the unrighteous people. They don't submit to God's authority. They reject Him, they oppose Him, and they oppose us. Those who are in Christ, Christians, believers, they oppose us also. But God loves them. And He calls us to love those who oppose us. People who oppose our desires. People who oppose our convictions. Who oppose our way of living for God. Jesus says, love them. You may not always think of them as enemies, but they resist your will. They resist your personal convictions. They challenge you. They may be antagonistic toward you. I mean, in this sense, the enemy might be, you know, a rebellious child. The enemy might be just that uncaring, non-listening, ill-tempered, difficult husband who needs to go to the Marriage on the Rock conference on March 7th with you. That enemy who opposes you might be that cantankerous neighbor who just keeps calling the HOA on you and complaining about every single thing you do. You know, your grass is too short, your grass is too long, you know, this and that. And you're just like, give me some mercy, please. As you can tell, I've been there before. But anyway, we have a great neighborhood. They don't do that to me. But anyway, I do that to myself. My grass. Oh. Maybe the person opposes you because they oppose your political views. They're on the opposite side of that debate. And it may be a serious debate. Jesus didn't say, don't share truth. But He did say in the process, love them. Love them. Love those who oppose you. Love your enemies. So who is our enemy? Those who persecute us, those who oppose us, and number three, those who are indifferent to us. Verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? So here in verse 46, the enemy is anyone who isn't showing you the love. I'm just not feeling the love. I'm just not feeling the love. How are you going to treat that person who just isn't showing you the love? Just going to ignore them? Blow them off? Hey, man, they don't want to talk to me. I don't want to talk to them. They don't want to wave at me. I'm not going to wave at them. They don't want to show me love. All right. Just going to do my thing and go hang out with those who are showing me the love. If you just love those who love you, you're not loving the way I commanded. That's what Jesus is saying. You're not loving the way I designed you to love. If you greet only your brothers, you're not loving the way that I've designed you to love. You're not loving the way that I've taught you to love, Jesus is saying. Love those who can't do anything for you. Love them. Love those who are strangers with nothing to offer. Those outside your family, those outside your church, those outside your close circle of friends. Love them. Love them. We have some people that haven't done anything for us as a church family that we're going to show love to. We're going to invite them in. We're going to feed them. We're going to give them a place to stay, to lay their heads. It's safe and out of the elements. In the summer, it's going to be air conditioned. We're going to send them on their way with something to eat and something to drink. We don't know them, but we love them. They haven't done anything for us. Probably never will. Never know. Might. Who knows what's going to happen? We don't know, but we're going to love them. This is the kind of love that Jesus is encouraging us into. You know, so many of us here in America, we don't have people throwing rocks at us, beating us, putting us in the hospital. We better keep praying and pressing in, and we better start loving in a big way so those kind of things don't come into our nation, into our neighborhoods. But we have others who oppose us, who make fun of us, who challenge us, who don't agree with our convictions, and we have plenty of people who are indifferent to us. What are we going to do? Just go to church, close the door, and do our thing in here, and woo, felt God, this is good. I'm going to drive right by everybody else on my way home and do my family thing all week and pour into my family and give them everything I have and drive by the rest of society on my way back to church and go, woo, and day in and day out. Jesus is saying, no, I've loved you more than that, and I've given you all you need to love more than that. Love those who are indifferent to you. Do it. That's the heart of God. Love your enemy means that we're called to love those who hurt us, those who offend us, those who annoy us, and those who can't do anything for us. This is love extended. That's why we've titled the message, Love Extended. We've been called to extend our love to everyone. So how do we show this kind of love? Jesus has challenged us. He's given us something to do, but he hasn't left us hanging. He's actually, in these exact passages, shown us what to do. How do we love? God's way. How do we do it? First thing is this. We greet them. We just say hi to them. You want to know how to love somebody? Hi. Smile. How you doing? Good to see you, man. What's up? That's love. In verse 47, we see that loving our enemy means something as simple and gracious as greeting them. If you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? If you greet them. Jesus is saying greeting is loving. It's showing love. It's showing that that person matters. You matter to me. I'm going to notice you. I'm going to look you in the eye. And you're going to see the love of God. You're going to feel the love of God coming out of me as I just say hi. I care for you, man. What's going on? When I ask you how you doing, I'm not just looking for, yeah, everything's great. I really want to know, man, how you doing? Because I'm here for you. Jesus means that we're to apply this to our entire lives. Who do you say hi to? Who do you chat with after church? Let's get real about this, even right now, this morning. Who do you run to after church to smile at and that you really just want to see? And is it the same people week in and week out? Or are you looking for the stranger? Are you looking for the guest? Are you looking for the lonely? Who are you looking for to run to and say hi to? Matt Brown, one of our elders, brought it forth earlier in our ministry time. Consider others greater than yourself. Whose love tank are you wanting to fill when we dismiss here? Your own? I just want to be around those people that make me feel good, and I want to hear what's happening, man, because I'm part of that group. Or are you wanting to fill somebody else's love tank? Jesus says, man, we can do incredible things. We can cause amazing breakthrough in people's lives. They can literally experience heaven coming down and the hand of God coming over them when we just pursue somebody to smile and to say hi. How's it going? Sounds too simple to be true, but man, this is it. This is what Jesus, this is Jesus' prescription to how to love everyone. So loving our enemies starts with simply greeting them. Number two, how else can we show this kind of love that Jesus is talking about? We help them. We can help people in practical ways. Meeting physical needs is another way that we show love. Oh, that doesn't sound spiritual either, Pastor. Where is the spiritual stuff, man? I'm ready for the spiritual stuff. This is it. Smile. Feed somebody that needs to be fed. Help somebody that needs to be helped. Lift somebody up that needs to be lifted up. Help somebody move who's moving. Take food to people who are in the hospital. I mean, love people. This is spiritual. God causes His Son. God does this. This is how God operates. God causes His Son, S-U-N, He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good. And He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Sunshine and rain are two things that are needed for life. And without them, you're going to die. So love is shown by meeting those physical, practical needs of others, including our enemies. It's spiritual. Do you believe that the things God does, those are spiritual things? Powerful spiritual things. God meets people's practical needs. Not just those who are following Him and showing Him the love, but even those who are evil and unrighteous. God shows them this kind of love. This is the kind of thing Paul had in mind when he proclaimed this. Romans 12, verses 20 and 21. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now that might sound like, ooh, yeah, I'm ready. That's what I want to do to my enemy. Heap burning coals on them. No, he didn't say heap the burning coals. He said, serve them, love them, give them things they need, food and drink, care for them. And what this is a picture of is that when we love this extravagantly, this other than worldly kind of way, when we love this God-inspired, grace-filled kind of way, it's hard for people to hate you. You keep caring for people and helping them up and serving them and feeding them and meeting their needs, it's going to be hard for them to day in and day out continue ongoing hate you. And so what you're doing is you're burning out the evil. You're crushing the evil. You're crushing the lies. You're breaking off what Satan has been doing and how he's been chaining them up and just having them live in that pit. You're pulling them out of the pit. It's powerful. Love is a powerful thing. I think somebody wrote a song about that once. I have all these songs jumping in my head right in the middle of preaching, and I don't even know the words to them. I'm a bass player. We don't have to know words. We just play the groove, man. We just get in the pocket. You know what I'm saying, bass guys? Come on. We just get in the pocket, man, and woo, experience the Lord right then and there. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the word of the Lord. You want a strategy how to deal with people who are just boogers in your life, man? Overcome them with good, with love. Love your enemies in practical ways, helping them with ordinary things of life. The third way that Jesus points out, how do we love this way, love God's way? How are we able to love our enemies? We pray for them. Finally, we're getting spiritual. It's all spiritual. We pray for them. We pray for them. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, Jesus said. Love and prayer. Praying for our enemies is one of the deepest forms of love because it means that we have to really want good to happen to them. Because we're not going to lie when we're talking to the Lord. Oh, God bless them. And he's just like, you don't mean it, dude. What are you talking about? We got to mean it. And I'm telling you what, when you start praying for somebody and you start interacting with God about somebody, And you're going to start getting God's heart. You pray about anything. You spend any time with God. I mean, I'm talking real time with God. You're going to start getting His heart for that situation, that community, that person. And so as you start spending time with God in His presence, interacting with Abba Father about somebody who's been doing you wrong, what's going to happen is you're going to start thinking God's way about that dude. And you're going to start praying some powerful things over them. And you're going to start praying life and transformation and blessing. And you're going to start, the Holy Spirit is going to start giving you strategies on how to break off the very things the enemy has been using in that person's life to bring hell into your life and to other people's lives. It's the enemy. We battle not against flesh and blood. It's not that person. It's the devil who's taken over that person, who's using them to cause harm to others, including yourself. And the things of the devil need to be broken off. And so we pray and we start getting God's heart. We start getting God's strategies. We start having the Holy Spirit identify what's been going on there. And we start breaking things. And we start loosing the things that need to be loosed. And we start seeing transformation happen. Freedom happen. And God is glorified in that. That's the love of God. We love our enemies by praying for them. And when we do that, the kind of prayer is going to be the kind of prayer that will loose chains. I mean, freedom will come. Look at Jesus, man. Look at his example. He's hanging on the cross. He didn't deserve to be there. He didn't deserve to be there. He's taking the punishment for the sin of man. He's hanging on the cross, and Jesus says this. He prays this, "Father, forgive them." These are the people crucifying him. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That person who's saying those things to you, who's treating you that way, it seems like they know what they're doing. But where's it really coming from? Who's really pushing the buttons, pulling the triggers? It's a spiritual battle. Stephen understood that. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amazing man, walking by the Spirit. He just got done preaching an amazing message that glorified Jesus Christ. And then people started throwing rocks at him. Kind of like Pastor Quang. Stoning him with rocks. Killing him. Persecuting him. It says, "Then Stephen fell on his knees and he cried out." What did he cry out? He cried out, "Lord, send a hailstorm on them and smite my enemies," or smote them. I don't know if it's smite or smote, but it's one of those really mean kind of things. "Take them out." That wasn't the prayer of Stephen. Stephen prayed this. He said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he said this, he fell asleep. Now, I want you to read about this. I want you to read about Stephen. Just this week, I do, because it's amazing. This man was amazing. One of my favorites. Very inspiring. In the process of expressing God's love in the midst of this kind of extreme persecution, do you know what happened to him? He literally, in the flesh, while still in his body on this earth, he saw heaven open up and saw Jesus giving him a standing ovation for loving the way that Jesus taught us to love. You want to experience God? You want to see more of Him? You want to hear Him more clearly? You want to know Him? You know, man, we all want that, man. We want those goosebumps. We want those feelings. We want that love. Why don't you love? Love, it's the key. It's the key. So Jesus continues to turn the world upside down, doesn't he? Isn't he awesome? Don't you just love it? Doesn't he? Just messing with your life, you know? you know, opening up those doors that you thought, you know, no, I kind of like it that way. No, he keeps turning it all upside down and putting it right side up, actually. He's not going to leave the world alone. He wants us to rethink about life. He wants us to rethink marriage. He wants us to rethink love. And he wants us to live lives of love extended to everyone. And this is all possible in him and through him. Not in our own flesh, because we know how we're going to react in our own flesh. I'm going to go ahead and tell you a story. If you want to cover your children's ears, that's fine, because I don't want them getting any silly ideas. But I just want to tell you a story. This is how the flesh reacts. So I'm wrestling with my brother. I'm probably 14 years old. He's 12 years old. He's every bit as big as me. He's a big boy. Threw the discus in college for Baylor. Got a full scholarship just to throw a little platter, a plate around. I mean, unbelievable. So we're wrestling, and it kind of turns a little more aggressive, and he slams my head onto the cement floor in the basement. Now, if I would have heeded the words of Jesus, I would have got up and helped him up off the ground and given him a big hug and said, I know that was just an accident. I love you. Isn't it great being brothers? Let's go eat some more pizza. But that's not how I reacted on that day. I ran and grabbed my bow and arrow. Yes, a real bow. Yes, a real arrow. And I chased him around, and I actually let one go. And it hit a tree instead of hitting him. Praise God, yes. Praise God. We can react Jesus' way. It is possible. We got to get his heart so we don't make silly mistakes reacting the wrong way to our enemy and causing more pain and more hurt and more injury. That's not what we're on this earth to do. We're the salt and light to bring the kingdom of God, to bring the love of God, to show the love of God, the different way, the better way, the God way. That's why we're here. Not to let arrows fly at our enemy. Unless it's like that Cupid arrow of love. Man, that's the only kind of arrow we're going to let fly. Not like the real ones, you know what I'm saying? Whew! I am grateful to this day that did not hit him. Apart from Christ, none of this is possible. But if you're in Christ Jesus, you've got his grace. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living inside of you. You have all you need for life and godliness. His grace that justified you is sanctifying you and teaching you to love this way. To love this way. I'm paraphrasing a bunch of scripture right there, but this is truth. This is what we have now in Christ Jesus. This is who we are. We can show love extended, and we can blow the minds of a hurting world. And we can actually see transformation and freedom happen by saying hi to people, by caring for them, for meeting their physical needs, and for getting God's heart for them in a place of prayer and breaking off those things that are tormenting them. We can see the power and kingdom of God move in amazing ways as we extend our love the way Jesus has shown us to do it. Peter Miller, he's a Baptist pastor. He lived in Euphrata, you know, potato, potato. He lived in Euphrata, Pennsylvania. Aphrodite. That's a third way. Now you're really confusing me. He lived in Euphrata, Pennsylvania. He enjoyed friendship with actually George Washington. This is a few years ago. He was a buddy with George Washington. And in Euphrata, so lived a guy named Michael Whitman. He was one of those tough guys to get along with. He was evil-minded sort of guy who did all he could do to oppose and humiliate Pastor Miller. One day, Michael Whitman was arrested for treason and sentenced to die. Peter Miller, the pastor, traveled the 70 miles. It's a long way back then. He traveled 70 miles to Philadelphia on foot and pleaded for the life of the traitor. "No, Peter," George Washington said. "I cannot grant you the life of your friend." "My friend?" exclaimed the old pastor. "He's the bitterest enemy I have." "What?" cried Washington. "You've walked 70 miles to save the life of an enemy? That puts the matter in a different light. I'll grant you your pardon. And he did. Peter Miller, like the Reverend Hugh Holmer that we learned about earlier, they embraced and they lived out the words of Jesus Christ to extend our love even to our enemies. It'll make a big difference. Here's what we're going to do. We've got a few minutes, and I want us to take part in this right now. I want to call everybody, begin to come forward for a time of rapid-fire prayer, and I want us to pray. I want us to pray for the persecuted church. They need our prayers. They long for their brothers and sisters to be praying for them. I want us to begin to engage in praying for the persecuted church. And number two, I want to move into praying for those who are persecuting the church. So I just want to start inviting people to come forward even right now. Let's start praying.